This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Good evening. This is Rock Cash, your host this week on The People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen in by phone calling 716-748-0144, or if you have a smartphone or a computer, go to bbsradio.com, navigate to station 2, and click on the listen icon. You can also participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests, toll-free, USA and Canada, 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Joining me tonight, Professor Shlomo Sands. He is an Israeli emeritus professor of history at the University of Tel Aviv. And he is here to share his views with us. He's written a couple of books, one of them being The Invention of the Jewish People, the other one, The Invention of Israel, and the third one, his newest book, Why I Stopped Being a Jew, or How I Stopped Being a Jew. You can find all of these books on Amazon.com. Make sure you go and buy his books. They're really great. I just got done reading his last book. He's here to talk about all three books and also, of course, The Invention of the Jewish People first, and then we'll move on to his circumstances and why he feels that he can no longer be a Jew. He's joining me live from Israel, so this is a pleasure. He got up very early this morning. Professor, thank you for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Let's start with your first book, The Jewish Invention. Can you please explain to us briefly about why you feel it was an invention?
By the way, I think all the people are in some way inventions, modern inventions. In the case of the Jewish people, I started with a very, very simple question. If I'm using the word people about American people, the French people, the German people, then I didn't understand how I can use the word Jewish people. Because, you see, I applied the term people about a human group that has in common some common culture, like language, like food, like music, etc. Then in the case of the Jewish, I cannot understand why Woody Allen and me, we are the same people when we don't speak the same language, we don't understand the same theater, and etc., etc., etc. The fact that we have a background, a very important background, historical background, doesn't mean that we are today a people. You understand? It's very simple. You cannot call all the cats cats, all the dogs dogs, and one cat to call him a dog. Then I think that I put in question the existence of a Jewish people, you understand? Or I stop to use the term people about French, German, Italian, American, or I stop to use the word people about Jews. I think, by the way, that Zionism succeeded to create the Israeli people with a language, with a daily culture, with a theater, with a cinema, etc. But I cannot understand why using the word Jewish people in this circumstance. By the way, I think in the past we could speak about the Yiddish people in the Russian Empire. But speaking today about the Jewish people is very strange in my point of view.
So you're saying in essence that the Jews that are in Israel today are really part of the Russian Empire?
No, I say that today, you know, the Zionism, by creating this state here, succeeded to create not only one people, they create two people. The first one is the Israeli Jewish people, and the second one is the Palestinian people. By the colonization, the Zionist colonization, we succeeded to create here in the area, I mean in the Middle East, two peoples, Israeli Jewish people and a Palestinian Arab people. But I don't think that, you see, Sheldon Harrison in the state belongs to my people.
Right.
It's very now, simple. Very simple-minded, you see.
Right, right. So you're stating that it is a colonization of the Palestinian territory and the Palestinian people by a foreign group, in essence.
Yeah, I think that, you see, it's 130 years that we started to colonize this area. We continue, by the way. And it's a process of colonization. There is not any doubt about it. It doesn't mean that I put in question the existence of the Israeli state today, but Israeli state is a product of colonization of Zionism. I don't know if, I don't think it's a question of, you know, knowing it or putting it in question. We started to colonize this area 130 years ago. The problem is that we didn't stop. And we continue to colonize, and I'm speaking about every week, every month. We are taking a little bit more land from the Palestinian.
Right. So what do you say to these people that say that God gave them the land and that they are the chosen people?
You have to understand that Zionism started as a very, very secular movement. I mean, the principle was God is dead, but he before dying, he gave us the land. I don't believe in God. I try to believe in human being. And from this point of view, I don't think that God gave the land to somebody. And I think that the land is it belongs to the people that work on it. But you see, United States also is a product of colonization. It doesn't mean that I put in question the existence of United States today. But anyway, you see, I try to convince the Palestinian with my radical historical analysis that even a child from a rape has a right to exist. And I think that we raped here the population by coming here and pushing them away.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I'm a Palestinian myself, so I understand where you're coming from. Now, we have no problem with people being there. We just want them to stop abusing the Palestinian people. And I believe that is also your sentiment, the same.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm now in Tel Aviv. I'm living in Israel most of my life. I was born abroad, yeah, as a child. My parents brought me to Palestine. And if you want, yeah, it's very, very difficult for me as somebody that tried to be moral, and especially that I am from Jewish origin. If I don't think that the Jewish people exist, I think the Jews exist in history. In has a descendant of people that was suffering from a lot of things. I think that we are doing to the Palestinian, we are doing to the Palestinian cannot be accepted by moral persons everywhere. You understand? Right. And it's a question of a daily life of oppression, a daily life oppression. It's 48 years that we are occupying a population in the West Bank and Gaza without any political sovereign rights, any civic rights in the world accepted. It's, you know, it's a population of 4 million people without any rights. And, you know, the world is consider Israel as a democratic state. 48 years, we are holding a population without any civic, political, or syndical rights. It's unbelievable. And it's continue to be like this.
Well, they're holding a population under siege, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yes, I concur. And do you see anything forthcoming in any solution for peace there on the ground in Israel?
You see, I'm very pessimistic. It's not 48 weeks. It's not 48 months. It's 48 years. Now, I don't believe that something came out from the Israeli society itself, something positive can came out from the Israeli society. I'm very pessimistic. I think that, taking out, throwing out Israel from the occupied territories cannot come alone from the Israeli society, from the Israeli culture. We don't have a real movement in Israel that opposed to this occupation. And it can continue for 100 years if the world would not try to push Israel to go out from it. Then my hope is that any pressure that came out, that came from outside Israel, I'm speaking about diplomatic, political, economical pressure on Israel. Besides terror, I accept today because I'm so pessimistic. Now, I'm not speaking about the pressure that changing the Israeli society. I'm speaking about pressure to throw out Israel from the occupied territories. And, the real blame, if I you let me to speak, is the United States, you see. The supporting, the unconditional support of United States of Israel with all the nice talking of Obama, they continue to support Israel. They put veto any time in the United Nations about throwing out Israel from the occupied territories. And I'm very pessimistic. But I think that with the pressure, you see, a real pressure from outside, Israel society can change, you see. If there will be a boycott of all the plasma TV more than 21 inch, I think it can change the Israeli society in face of the occupied territories. Yeah.
Right. And what do you have to say to these Jewish people that say, we're talking about the far right, that say there will never be a Palestinian state or Palestine never existed? We get this rhetoric all the time that there was never a Palestinian state, there was never a Palestine. They try to distort the situation on the ground. What do you say to these people about the Palestinian history? Because we know that the Israelis, upon taking the land, they stole a lot of the history books. Maybe you can inform us a little bit more about that, and also inform us more on the history of the European Jews.
First of all, the fact that before the white colonization, the Puritan colonization in the United States in the 17th century, we didn't meet in history an Indian state. It doesn't mean the conquest of the West. It doesn't mean that the colonization of North America was justified from any point of view, moral point of view. Now, you see, the fact that we don't find in history a Palestinian state before 48, it doesn't mean that we can justify the fact that 100 years ago, the majority of the population was Palestinian, or if you want, Arab, in that time. In a little minority of Orthodox Jews were living in Jerusalem. Then the fact that it wasn't a Palestinian state cannot justify colonization, cannot justify taking a land from the other one. Now, the fact that the Jews suffer from in the Russian Empire, the Jews suffer in Europe from Judophobia, from anti-Semitism, cannot justify the fact that we took a land of the other one. I don't know if 100 years ago it was a Palestinian people or not, but I'm sure that was a Palestinian population here, that we took the land meter after meter, I mean inch by inch, and we continue to do it till now. Then the question, if it was a Palestinian state, it wasn't a Palestinian state, it's not relevant to this process. Now, I don't believe that the Jews were coming for here 2,000 years ago. All this is, for me, not a real history. It's a myth history. Now, in my book, The Invention of the Jewish People, I try to show that the Jews in the world are much more a product of proselytism in what we call the exile of the Jews 2,000 years ago is only a myth. The Jews were not exiled from Palestine 2,000 years ago, and they didn't come back from their own will. I mean, most of the people, most of the Jews that came here in the process of colonization were thrown out from Europe, you know, by the hate against the Jews. But even this cannot justify the fact that we took something from another one. And it's clear for me. And by the way, in my book, when I try to explain that the Jews are product of a lot of population from a lot of colors, and they are not a product of exile. Parallel, I say that the fact that it wasn't 2,000 years ago exile of the Jews, I put the question: what happened with the population 2,000 years ago? I think that most of the Judean of the ancient world were. Except the Islam, in the chance that a Palestinian is a descendant of the ancient Hebrew, is thousand times more logic that I am a descendant of the ancient Hebrew. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I was clear enough. You see, I don't think, it has to be clear. I don't think that the Jews had any right of this land. It doesn't mean that, as I said before, that I put in question the existence of an Israel society today. But I don't think that we had a historical rights about this land. You know, that when the Puritan arrived to to America, they believed that God gave them the land. They called it even, they called America Canaan, the ancient word for Palestine. And they considered that God gave them the land, and they started to push away the Indians. I don't think deeply that is different between the two processes.
Right. Can you explain to us a little bit about the Khazarian myth? You're a professor of history. Were the Khazarians, you know, Jewish people of Europe, or what was the story on the Khazarians?
Then we have to start with my declaration that the Jews were not exiles 2,000 years ago. I mean, now, in these days, I don't think that there are historians that pretend that the Israeli were exiled by the Roman Empire. Now, the question for me was, how come that there are so many Jews in the Mediterranean area and after it in Europe and also elsewhere? And then I started to look closely, and I found that there is at least four kingdoms that converted to Judaism. It's not only the question of the Khazarian empire that was converted to the Judaism. People don't know, and you can look today in the Wikipedia and find, for example, that in Yemen today, what we call Yemen today, it was a Jewish kingdom that were converted to Judaism in the 5th century. You can imagine it, that a kingdom in Yemen, an ancient kingdom, a very strong one, were converted to Judaism. In what we call today the Jewish Yemen came from this kingdom. It's not people that came from Palestine or Canaan or from Judea to Yemen. This is the reason that the nice Jewish girls and boys from Yemen are the same look like the Muslims Yemenite. The same thing is about, for example, in North Africa. I'm speaking about Daya El Kaina, this queen that opposed the Islam and was a Jew, that converted to Judaism. Now, the phenomenon is that also if you were around the Caucasus, it was a kingdom that were converted to Judaism. The biggest Jewish kingdom in history was not in Palestine, in Canaan. It was in this area between the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea. Now, nobody put in question the fact that this empire, very strong empire, were converted to Judaism. It's not a myth. The question is, what is the relationship of this Jewish converted kingdom in the presence of Jews in East Europe? And I think that to try to understand how come that there are so many Jews in the Russian Empire in the beginning of the 20th century, you cannot explain it with any other hypothesis than only the fact that a lot of Jews came from the Khazarian Empire. I'm speaking about the empire that was created, if you want, in the 8th or 9th century, were converted in that time to Judaism, to say opposed of Islam and Christianity, and they existed for 200-300 years. And I think with the destruction of this Khazarian Empire, a part of these Jews were pushed to the West, and this can explain why there are so many Jews. And I'm speaking at the end of the 19th century, you can find 7 million Jews that are living in the area of Poland, of Latvia, of Ukraine. And I think the only hypothesis can explain this demographic presence by the Khazarian Empire. Now, you have to understand that 50 years ago, even a lot of Zionist historians accept this thesis to explain it. But, you know, after 67, it's become impossible to explain the existence of the Jewishness in East Europe by the Khazarian theory. But if people will take, for example, the book of Baron, Saul Baron, it was a Jewish American historian. In this book about the history of the Jewishness, and he was a very sympathizing of Zionism, he put forward the fact of the Khazarian Empire, Jewish Empire, to explain the existence of the Jews in East Europe. You can go to any library in the United States to find the book of Baron and to read it. And Baron is a pro-Zionist historian. But after 67, what happened with the continuing of the colonization of the West Bank, to write about the fact that the Jewish came from the Khazarian Empire becomes something heretic, dangerous for the Zionism. And this is the reason that they try to say that it is a myth, the Khazarian. And I repeat it. It's the only explanation of this demographic heavy presence of Jewish in East Europe.
Right. Well, this is what I get a lot of times when I try to discuss it with people, and stating that, you know, the Jews are not of the land of Palestine. Most of them were settlers. There was the Orthodox that were living there with us in peace and harmony until the coming of the Europeans. But these Jews have been there for a very long time.
There is a little presence of Orthodox Jews in Jerusalem, anti-Zionist, by the way, when the Zionism appeared, because you have to understand that Zionism is not Judaism. It's a kind of what we call in French the epistemological coupure. I mean, Zionism, not Judaism. If you want, I can define Zionism as opposition to Judaism, to historical Judaism. It's not only Orthodox. You have to understand that in the deep belief of the Jews, you cannot colonize the Holy Land. You have not a right to go to the Holy Land as a group. The Jews refuse to go to the Holy Land as a group, only personal visit, yes. Why? Because, you know, Jewishness, the big difference between Jewishness and Christianity was the fact that the Jews didn't accept that the Messiah is here. And for Jews, till the Messiah will not arrive, you have not a right to emigrate to the Holy Land. And when the Zionism started in the end of the 19th century, 90%, 95% of the believer, the Jewish believer, were opposed to Zionism. Till the Second World War, I can say that most of the Jews in the world believers, Orthodox, also the Reformists, were against Zionism. You have to understand, Zionism was a minority, a very little minority in the Jewishness in Europe. And as I say, I think that Zionism deeply is a kind of a negotiation of Jewishness, because Jewishness said in the deep belief that God gave this land, God took this land, and when the Messiah will come, he will give it back. Zionism deeply is a secular movement that's opposed to it, that is a product of the anti-Semitism in Europe, but is not a Jewish movement, a real Jewish movement. And this is the reason that till now we can find a lot of Orthodox. But you have to understand that 120 years ago, it was the majority of the Jews that opposed Zionism, were against Zionism, not only Orthodox. By the way, the Reformists in the United States, till the Second World War, were anti-Zionists. I don't know if I explain it enough, but it's a very important thing that Zionism is not a continuation of Judaism. It's something, it's a deep opposition to Judaism. In Judaism, people cannot take something, the Holy Land, by themselves. It's anti-Jews.
Okay, we got the point on that. What do you say to these Jews that say there will never be a Palestinian state?
The same thing that the Orthodox Jews say to the Zionists, that Israeli state cannot exist, the Zionist state cannot exist. You have to know, when I spoke about the opposition of Judaism to Zionism, they said that it is impossible, it's negative, but it's also impossible that the Israeli Zionist state can be created. Nobody believes it 100 years ago. And I think the people that say that the Palestinian state is not, you have not any chance to make something else. You have to know, or do you liquidate or throw away all this to Palestinian, or you accept that they have a right, the same right of the Israeli Jews today, for their own state. But to say that the Palestinian state cannot be created is to say that, for example, to say that you have to make a genocide, or to throw them away, to push them away to Jordan, to Syria, etc., etc. Now, I think that the beginning of the 21st century, there is not any chance that Israel will dare to push away. But if you are not pushing away the Palestinian, there is two possibilities, or to give them a Israeli citizenship, or to accept their sovereignty in support the creation of a Palestinian state. There is not any other possibility to do. Now, for the moment, I don't believe in one state solution, not because I'm against a one state solution. You see, I know that Jaffa was once upon a time a Palestinian city. By the way, I'm sitting near Jaffa. I was living all my life in Jaffa, by the way, in an apartment that belongs before 48 to Palestinian families. I was living there. Now, you have to understand that even if I know that we took away Jaffa, I accept that Jaffa is a part of the Israeli state. But, you know, Israeli in 48 gave the Arabs that were not running away or throwing away from Jaffa, they gave them the Israeli citizenship. What is the reality today? That we are keeping a population in Hebron, in Jericho, everywhere in the West Bank, without any political rights. I cannot understand how Americans or American Jews who can accept this situation, that there is people without any rights, civic, political, unions, rights to fight, to live, to work. I cannot understand how Americans can accept the fact that Israel continue to occupy these territories. It's really, it's very difficult for me to understand it. Now, the solution of one state is not realistic because Israel is today one of the most racist society in the Western world. What I mean, I don't think that the Israeli Jewish society will accept to become a minority in this one solution state. This is the reason that I said that they cannot force Israel to become a one state with all the Palestinians. From the other side, you cannot accept that Israel will continue to occupy after 48 years another population. I cannot understand it. You know, if somebody will come to California, occupied in California, and saying that we cannot build the California state because you have not the right. It was the land of the Indians. Then I will keep you. I will keep you in occupation for 50 years. And I ask really the people that listen to this emission, I cannot understand how come that the world in the United States accept that Israel continue to occupy. Now, saying that we have a peace solution, we have to stop with this stupid, pronunciation. United States has to force Israel to go out from all the occupied territories. Not in 100 years, tomorrow. Now, I'm for a Palestinian state because I don't believe in one state solution for the moment. I am that Israel will go out from all occupied territories and let the Palestinians to exercise their sovereignty. Now, in the future, as an Israeli that can live with Arabs better sometimes than a lot of American Jews, by the way, that supported American evangelists, deeply, I want that in the future we will build with a Palestinian state a confederation that everybody can live in this confederation everywhere. You understand me? But as a first step, I think that we have to realize, throwing out the Israeli army from occupied territories, getting a Palestinian state, and started to build a common future by a confederation. It's a dream. But you don't have any alternative that will not be a tragic alternative to this solution.
I agree, but we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back in a few minutes with my guest, Professor Shlomo Sands, and we will be talking about his new book, Why He Stopped Being a Jew. We'll be right back on The People Speak.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Belzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
In In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive, but there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you.
Welcome back to The People Speak. This is Rock Cash, your host, with my guest, Professor Shlomo Sands, and we're here to talk about the second half of the show, his second book, and how he stopped being a Jew. Shlomo, sir, please explain to us why you stopped being a Jew. Is it the identity? Go ahead.
You know, there is a subtitle. It wasn't translated in English, that how I stopped to be a Jew, an Israeli point of view. Now, I don't think that a secular Jew is something really that exists from cultural point of view. And I think that Jews exist, but there is not a real secular Jewish culture. And I don't know what is a secular Jewish culture. I think that there is a religious, a deep, a very important religious Jewishness, but not a secular. And I am a secular one. Now, secondly, why I decided to define myself non-Jew is very, very simple. I'm living in Israel. I'm an Israeli citizen. Israel is defining itself not as an Israeli state of all its citizens, like United States is the state of all its citizens, blacks, whites, Christian, non-Christian. Israel defines itself as a Jewish state. Then to be Israeli citizens in a Jewish state, it means to be a privileged person, a privileged citizen. And I don't want to be privileged in my own state. And I reclaim that Israel has to become an Israeli state and not a state of the Jews in the world. Why a Jew in California, this state belonged to him much more than my pupils, Palestinian-Israeli pupils that are Israeli citizens? I cannot understand it. And I am ashamed to be a Jew in Israel. I am ashamed to be a Jew in Israel, because to be a Jew in Israel today, to define yourself as a Jew, is to define yourself as a privileged citizen. You can imagine the United States declare that it's a Christian state, or it is a white Christian state. Then all the non-white Christian citizens will become a second-degree citizens. I'm ashamed to be a Jew in Israel today, for the reason that because I'm from Jewish origin, I don't think that I can be a Jew in a Jewish state. There is 25% of the citizens in Israel that are not Jew, full citizens, not Jew. Then I think that Israel has to define itself as an Israeli republic or Israel democracy, not a Jewish democracy. There is not a Jewish democracy. It cannot exist a Jewish democracy. Only an Israeli democracy, I mean a state that belongs to everybody that has a citizenship.
Yes. What percentage of Israelis would you say are actually faithful, Bible-following Jews or Judeans?
Religious. Well, I mean,
yes.
It's difficult to define because a lot of people are not atheists, but they are secular. Israeli, most of the population is quite secular. The percentage, I think the majority are secular, if you want. the majority of the Israeli citizens are secular, not atheist, but secular. And the problem is that Israel defines itself as a Jewish state, not a Israeli state. You understand the problem. And this is the reason that I wrote the book, How I Stopped to Be a Jew. And I'm proud not to be a Jew in an Israeli state, because I respect the suffering of the Jewish in the past. You understand?
Correct. Well, let me, I have a question for you from an Israeli. He wants to know if your family has lost people during the Holocaust or have suffered loss of life during the Holocaust.
Yes, in the beginning of the invention of the Jewish people, I'm writing about 8 persons. I mean, I'm writing about the past in some way, the experience of my family also. Yes, you see, all my grandmothers and fathers were executed by the Nazi genocide. Also, one of my tant was finished her life in Auschwitz. My parents, my father and my mother, had the chance to run away to the east, to the Soviet areas. But yes, the tant, and I never know my grandparents because of the Nazis, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's also a stories going around that some of the Zionist hierarchy were helping along with the persecution of some of the lower echelon Jews in order to better create the state of Israel. Can you fill us in on that if you know anything about it?
I didn't understand exactly the question. Israel was created by the fact that the anti-Semitism, but I'm not sure that I understood the question.
Okay, the question is, people are saying that the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, some of the other Zionists like George Bush, and they helped to fund Hitler's regime in order to fight the wars and also aided and abetted the Nazis.
Mm.
In some persecution of some
Jews. There is some relationship. No. I don't think that Rothschild were connected to Nazism. There is a lot of capitalists that helped the Nazis to come to power. As we know, also the story about the part of the family of George Bush. But there were a lot of capitalists, especially in Germany, but also in the United States, that has relationship with the beginning of Nazism. But I don't. First of all, it's not Rothschild. There is not any connection between Rothschild and Nazism. But I don't think that, you know, looking for a conspiration with all this, it's not a serious history for me. You cannot explain history by conspiration.
Okay. Okay. How about let's touch base on your father. You said that your father, a long time ago, also gave up Judaism.
Ah, yeah. My father was more anti-religious than me because he grew up in a religious school, you know, till 10 years old. And he hated Judaism because, you know, it was like a lot of religions, other religions, studying in cheder, it's called the cheder, room, cheder. He suffered. And what is important, I asked him, how come that you left Judaism? And he said that after the death of his father, my grandfather, in the end of the First World War, the status of the family became lower. In the synagogue, my grandmother were pushed far from the first line. And he revolted against Judaism because this degradation of the status of his mother in the synagogue. You see, the rich people were forward, the poor people were in the last lines. You understand me? And he said that the first phenomenon that pushed him away from Jewish religion was this social status in the synagogue. But it was a general phenomenon in Poland between the wars that young Jews become very, very anti religious. They joined the Bund. The Bund was the social democrat movement in Poland. They joined the communists, and a lot become very, very secular. And their conduct, daily life, the secularization has a lot of reasons. My father, I tried to explain, is a part of a process in that time.
Okay, now, do you categorize yourself as a Zionist?
Or not at all. Not at all. When I was young, a radical leftist, I defined myself as an anti-Zionist. Today, I define myself as a non-Zionist or a post-Zionist because I don't want to mix the fact, anti-Zionism, with the putting on question the existence of the Israeli state. Then I accept the Israeli state. I want to de-Zionist the Israeli state, not to liquidate the Israeli state. De-Zionist, it means that I want that the state of Israel will not be a Zionist state that belongs to the Jewish in the world and not to its citizens.
Then it belongs to all the people of the land and all the people living there, not just to the Jews.
You know, with all the respect to Woody Allen, I don't understand why the state has to belong to him. Now, I'm not a Zionist. I never was a Zionist. You can say that I'm a post-Zionist in some way. People call me here a post-Zionist because I accept the fact of the creation of the Israeli state as a product of Zionism. But we have the Zionist, the Israeli state. You understand? Then I'm not a Zionist. I never was a Zionist.
Right.
By the way, I see that Israel can keep relationship with Jews and also, in some way that Israel will be a place of refuge for Jews that suffer from anti-Semitism or, persecution and etc. But no, I don't think that the Jews has to come to Israel as a fulfillment of their life. Not at all. You see... some relationship with the Jewish communities in the world, yes, but the state has to belong to its citizens, like United States belongs to its citizens. I don't know why a Jewish American has to have two states, and my pupils, Palestinian-Israeli pupils, has not the right to have even one state.
Right.
I hope to be...
What would you think if it all became like a one-state solution, or if it was in Palestine, everybody had all the same rights? Would that be any different?
Yeah, it's a good dream. I'm not against it, but I don't think that you can force Israel to become one state with the Palestinians and become a minority in this state. I don't believe in this utopia. You understand? Mm-hmm. Right. I think that. For moral reason, yes, I'm from one state, mm-hmm. I want to finish the occupation and build a future with the Arabs. But I don't believe for the moment, after this long fight, after this long colonization, after this long oppression, I don't believe that Jewish and Arabs can start to live in one state with the equal rights. And I am for equality, you have to understand. This is the reason. I try to be more pragmatic and say that Israel has to went out from all the occupied territories, accept the Palestinian state, and after it, start to build a confederation, because we cannot live without Arabs in the Middle East. If somebody wants to live in the Middle East without Arabs, he has to move to New York.
I concur with you wholeheartedly. My next question to you is... you're saying that that Israel should go back to the 67 borders and move out of all the occupied territory?
As a first step, yeah. I mean, Israel cannot continue to occupy the 48 years another population. Yes, Israel has to. When Obama was elected, I hope that he will be the first president that will try to, to help Israel to save herself from itself. It didn't happen because the power of this lobby, pro-Zionist lobby in Washington, is too strong, you understand?
Right.
And, I don't know. He had 2 years more. I hope that he will become a little bit more serious about his will of solution of the Middle East, because it's a very, very dangerous area. In this conflict can be finished very, very badly. Very, very badly.
What do you think of the Netanyahu regime and this recent election? Do you think there was any foul play in his election?
No. Netanyahu doesn't want peace, doesn't want to stop the occupation. Netanyahu believed that all this land belonged to the Jews. There is not any chance that Netanyahu, from his own will, will go out from the occupied territories. It has to be clear. Even a left Zionist party, I don't believe that could go out from the occupied territories, because you have to understand that the myth that helped to build this state, I mean, the myth that Jews came back after 2,000 years in the Hebron is the ancient, patria of the Jews in the world. Yes. Patria, I mean, the homeland. It's very difficult for people after they were educated that Hebron is the health of the ancient homeland to say that Israel has to go out from Arab Jerusalem, for Hebron, etc. Then I don't believe that the Israeli leader, political leader, can go out from the occupied territories without oppression from above.
Right.
Especially not Netanyahu that believe deeply that everything belongs to him.
Right. What about those that say, well, we gave back land and all we got was terrorism? Do you believe that the Palestinians are terrorists like these people are saying, or are they just people trying to gain their freedom?
First of all, most of the movements of national liberation in the history of the 20th century unfortunately use terror, and the Palestinian also. And I think that the Americans fighting the English 300 years ago, they were also a part of the terrorists. Terror is a part of the fights, unfortunately, of liberation movement. By the way, the relationship with the Islam terror, 40 years, 50 years ago, nobody associated Islam with terror. The terrorists were very, very secular, the secular part of the Palestinian movement. Today it's different. But, you know, I am against terror. I think that terror is not justice. And I opposed. When I spoke before about any pressure besides terror to put on Israel. Now, yes, the Palestinians use terror, not all of them. I think a big part of them stopped to use terror, but you have to know that to resist to occupation is legitimate in my point of view. To kill children, women, not armed, is not legitimate. But to resistance is legitimate. The Palestinians are living under occupation. They have the right to resist. It's clear, simple. Like the Americans has a right to resist to the English occupation in the 18th century. The same thing for me.
Right. And what do you say to those Israelis that are putting the shoe on the other foot when they did the same thing when they were taking over Palestine? They committed a lot of terrorist acts against not only the Palestinians, but the English also.
Yes. You see, terror was one of the means of fighting against imperialism, colonialism in the 20th century. I don't know cases that liberation movement, national liberation movement, didn't use terror, unfortunately. But it's a part of the game. To stop terror, you have to stop occupation. The occupation is the basic of terror. And not only of terror, of hatred, of bad education of both sides. In the real reason of terror is occupation, that you denied from the other the right that you take for yourself.
Right. I wholeheartedly agree. And this has been a very, very wonderful show. But now I have a question, and I was hesitating. I know you're not into conspiracies and stuff like that. But my audience are asking questions about whether Israel did or did not have a part in 9/11 or some of the world events in order to create the Israeli state or bring us to war with Arab nations here in the United States.
As I said before, to explain phenomena like this by conspiracy, it's too difficult that so many people were killed, so many people were involved, and we have any proof of this conspiration. And I don't believe that in conspiration in this level cannot be hide so long. You understand me? By the way, I have to explain that there is not politics without conspiration. But to explain phenomena, historical large phenomena by conspiration, is stupid enough as to imagine that there is politics without conspiration. But I don't believe about these events. I don't believe. There is not any proof. I'm open-minded. Conspiration exists in history. It has to be clear. But you cannot explain important phenomena by conspiration.
Right. For those that might not have understood, he said that conspiracies are a part of politics and going to war or things of that nature, but yeah, it can't be explained because there is no proof because it's all been hidden. With that, I have to end the show, Shlomo. Don't forget to go to Amazon.com, get Shlomo's books. Thank you so much, Shlomo. I wanted you invited here for this reason so we can have this show. Maybe we can have you again sometime in the future, hopefully for a better topic, maybe for a topic of peace in the Middle East if it actually happens. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Go ahead.
One more. Please help the Palestinian today.
Yes, we will. Thank you so much. You heard it from Shlomo Sands. Help the Palestinians today. Thank you very much, Shlomo. Viva Palestine. Viva Israel. And may we all live in peace someday.
Thank you very much.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief of us, I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.